Well, good morning, church. I'm excited to share this message with you today. This series we're talking about, Lift Up Your Eyes, the idea of changing your perspective. Look up, look around, see things the way that God sees things. Don't just be caught up in your own little circle, but look around and see what God wants you to see. And this morning's sermon is called Lift Up Your Eyes to See Someone to Bless. To see someone to bless. And we've been looking at these different stories where that phrase, lift up your eyes, kind of shows up in the Bible. And we've talked about Abraham, we've talked about Isaac, we've talked about Jacob, we've talked about Esau last week, talking about the restoration between Jacob and Esau. And I'm not going to just keep going in chronological order, although I will today, but next Sunday I'm going to change it all up, okay? But today we're going to talk about one of Jacob's sons and how he lifted up his eyes, in particular the son Joseph. Joseph, if you're familiar with the story, Jacob had the 12 sons, and Joseph was the one that none of the other brothers liked because he was a punk, right? He was arrogant and he was the youngest at the time, and he was kind of immature, and he had a vision and this dream about his brothers bowing down to him. And seriously, if you're the younger brother and you have that dream, okay, that's cool. Just don't share it, right? Don't ever tell your older brother, you're going to bow down to me. That does not end well. And it didn't. At least, well, it actually did end well, but anyways. In Joseph's case, you remember the story that Joseph's brothers, they sold him into slavery. They got rid of him. They told their father that he was killed, and they sold him into slavery. And he ends up in Egypt. And in Egypt, through the course of just really unbelievable events, like when we read the latter chapters of Genesis and the story of Joseph's life, it's like, really? That's pretty crazy that all that could happen to him, but it did. And it just crazy circumstances that lead to him becoming second in charge of all of Egypt. Like from being sold into slavery to the vice president of Egypt, and only Pharaoh above him, and Pharaoh entrusting him with all of the things, all of the responsibilities. It's really an amazing story. And here he is in this position, because we see the story is that God set this in motion because God wanted to place him in this position where he would provide for his family. Even though his family had betrayed him and sentenced him to death, so he thought, he was now sent to provide for them. And so he's in his wisdom, he tells the Egyptians, hey, there's 7 years of famine coming, so we're going to store up as much grain as we can, and through that we're going to become the most powerful nation in the world. We're going to be able to sell grain to all the other nations because they're going to come here. And then, sure enough, all the other nations start showing up in Egypt and asking for grain, and here come his 10 of his brothers. They arrive, and he sees them, and he's like, whoa, it's my brothers. And I can't tell you how sinister my plotting would be if I were in his shoes in that situation, right? Like, ha, 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 ha. Oh, you guys, the ones that sold me into slavery, the ones that made my life miserable, now here you are coming and asking me for help, and you don't even know it's me. Right? Like, that move. There's only one reason you're doing that. Yeah, you are sinister. And so that's where I would have thought Joseph was going to be. But he's weird, man. Instead, he finds a way to bless his brothers. And so rather than going through all the details of it, I'm just going to take you to this. So basically they get their grain, and then they leave, and then they come back, or they leave and they've like got their money back. They're like, what in the world is taking place? And so they have to come back again. They need more food. And the second time they bring their brother, the youngest brother, Benjamin, with them, because he wasn't there on the first journey, but now he is. And this is the scene found in Genesis chapter 43 where Joseph says, all right, here they all come. Now all 11 of my brothers are here, and I am going to bring, I'm going to have dinner with them. And we see he has this desire to bless them. So here it is, Genesis 43 verses 24 through 34. And when the man had brought the men into Joseph's house and given them water, and they'd washed their feet. And when he had given their donkeys fodder, they prepared the present for Joseph's coming at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. When Joseph came home, they brought into that house to him the present that they had with them, and they bowed down to him on to the ground. Pause for a second there. See the fulfillment of his dream. They literally bow down to him, which is exactly what he dreamed would happen. And he inquired about their welfare, and he said, "Is your father well, the old man of whom you spoke? Is he still alive?" They said, "Your servant, our father, is well. He is still alive." And they bowed their heads, and they prostrated themselves, and he lifted up his eyes, right? He lifted up his eyes, and he saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and he said, "Is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me? God be gracious to you, my son." Then Joseph hurried out, for his compassion grew warm for his brother, and he sought a place to weep. And he entered his chamber, and he wept there. Then he washed his face, and he came out, and controlling himself, he said, "Serve the food." They served him by himself and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with them by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked at one another in amazement. Portions were taken to them from Joseph's table, but Benjamin's portion was 5 times as much as any of theirs, and they drank and were merry with him. This is a weird little story. The whole, like I said, all of Joseph's story is strange. But in this case, he wants to bless his brothers. He lifts up his eyes to see his youngest brother, Benjamin, and there's a compassion that arises in him. It says the compassion grew warm for his brother. He lifted up his eyes to see someone to bless. When I want you to leave here today, to leave here this morning, I want you to leave with a greater sense of compassion. I want all of us to be able to see people and allow compassion to grow warm within us, because compassion is a powerful motivator of blessing. Now, the more I researched this, the more I was kind of blown away by this idea about compassion. Now keep in mind, compassion is different than pity or empathy. I've been hearing a lot of this new phrase kind of jumped out at me, that people call themselves now empaths because of, pop culture or whatever. They say, "I'm an empath." What do you mean you're an empath? I feel other people's suffering. I feel their pain. Oh, okay. That's great. Pity is a similar word. Pity is to see someone and feel sorry for them. The feeling, both empathy and pity have the word that have the context of feeling something for someone. But compassion is feeling and action. It's not just feeling something for someone. It's not just feeling sorry for them or seeing their situation. But the Latin word for compassion literally means suffer with. I'm going to suffer with. I'm going to come alongside them, and I'm going to join with them in their sorrow, and I'm going to seek to help them. And that emotion, that feeling of compassion, that desire to join with, that produces in us a powerful motivation to not just to suffer with, but to bless, to pour out, to give of yourself to that person. Now, one thing that's kind of weird about this word compassion is the Hebrew word that's in the Bible for compassion is only attributed to God. God is the only one described as being compassionate or having compassion. That's it. Except here in this story. Except for when Joseph feels compassion for his brother. Compassion. It's like the presence of God so overwhelms Joseph that he is now sharing in the very nature of God, the nature that in Exodus 34:6, God speaks to Moses and he says, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That the name of God is compassionate. Compassion. He so feels it. Now that's the Hebrew word, but you go into the Greek and we see Jesus, of course, feels compassion. It says in Mark 6:34, when he went ashore and he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Now Jesus feeling compassion, this Greek word for compassion, it talks about actually like feeling something in your gut. Like having a physical rising up. What's cool about the Greek word for compassion is it's not just used of Jesus. It's also used of Jesus and three different parable characters. Jesus has compassion. God has compassion. And in this experience, Joseph is sharing in compassion. And I want us to experience this morning, to receive from God this characteristic of compassion that compels blessing. So let's talk very practically. How can we bless? And when I say we, I mean literally Living Way Church. What can you and I do to bless? Matthew mentioned that on April 11th, we're going to have our Easter egg hunt. Again, this was a point of a lot of confusion about whether or not we would have it, because the city of Poway had a construction project planned that was going to make Community Park inoperable during Easter. But guess what? Praise God, that project has been delayed, and that means that we can do our Easter egg hunt there. So I'm excited about that. So everything that I say today is probably going to apply very heavily to how we get to be a part of blessing our community through the Easter egg hunt. But it's not just that. It's in every other aspect of these things. So number one thing that we can do to bless, to be a blessing, is humbly receive gifts from others. We just flipped this whole thing upside down, didn't we? Now, you would have thought the very first thing that we can do to be a blessing is to give gifts to other people. And this is true. But the very first thing that Joseph does in this story with this compassion is he receives the present that they had brought for them. Joseph does not need anything. He's got everything. He doesn't need anything. But they, when they came back to receive, to buy more bread or buy more grain. They brought the money for the grain, but they also brought some of the gifts. They brought a really great gift basket from Canaan. Like it had pistachios and almonds and honey and gum. And I'm not sure how they made gum, but they had gum. That's what it says. It had balm. It was a really nice gift basket. And they said, here's this gift basket. And here's second in command to Pharaoh, Joseph, and he's like, oh, thank you for the gift basket. You know that kind of thing? Thank you. Haha. Put it over there with the others, right? But he humbly receives that gift. And when I think about it, we're not like geared up to bless people by receiving from them. Even though Jesus told us, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than receive. That means that we are more blessing someone else by receiving from them than we are in giving to them. Whoa. I told you Jesus felt compassion in the story of the feeding of the 5,000, right? Says he came and he saw the people and he began to teach them and then he saw that they were hungry. And he's like, I feel compassion for these people. And so he says to his disciples, hey, feed them. Let's get some food for them. And the disciples said, we don't have anything to give them. And look at this though, in John 6:8-9, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? Do you ever wonder why Jesus took this kid's lunch? Right? Jesus does not need that kid's 5 loaves and 2 fish, does he? He doesn't need that. Literally, he can just say bread. And there's bread, and everybody's got, whoa, hey, magic bread just appeared, right? He has that ability, he has that supernatural power. But he receives from this little boy. There's one boy who's willing to give. Guess who gets the most blessing in this story? The boy. He's highlighted. We talk about him all the time. Now for thousands of years, we recognize that this child and his gracious offering, his opportunity to just, here, this is what I got, and I'm willing to give it. He gives, and boy, does he get blessed. I have this conversation often. Let me just be very frank about this. I am really not good at this blessing. I'm not good at it. I don't like that. I'm very uncomfortable with gifts and, you know, I'm uncomfortable in trusting things to other people. I like to do things. I like to show up here and do everything myself. And sometimes it's hard for me even to ask other people for help. It's a challenge. It's just not in my nature. And I thank God for Elder Steve because he does this all the time. He will rebuke me. He will call me to repentance. And he will say, don't rob people of their blessing. He says, allow them to receive the blessing that comes from serving. Allow them to receive the blessing that comes from giving. And I say, okay, you're right. And so that's why I'm so thankful that we have a culture that asks all of our youth kids to be involved in serving in the worship team. All of you, we ask you to serve because we know that you're blessed in that. Now, check this out. If we're going to feel compassion for our neighbors, if we're going to feel compassion for our community, and we want to bless them, then that means we need to ask them, give them the opportunity to give to us, to give back to our community. So what am I suggesting? April 11th, Easter egg hunt. This is what I want you to do. I want you to ask your neighbor, ask your friend, ask your coworker, ask somebody here to come and serve at the Easter egg hunt. I want you to invite them to serve at the Easter egg hunt even more than I want you to invite them to Easter service. Because if they take advantage of that opportunity to be a blessing, and you know what's crazy? They may actually be more inclined to do that than to come and join and sit with you at Sunday worship. If they will come out and serve alongside you, they will be blessed because it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so we're going to have a sign-up sheet out there that after service today, it says, hey, I want to volunteer, I want to serve. That's great. But when you sign up also, you're also saying, I'm going to invite my neighbor as well. I'm going to invite my friend to come and serve with me. And then in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a leadership meeting on March 1st after service. If any of you have ideas, you want to be a part of, an instrumental part of putting together an amazing Easter egg hunt, we want you to come and be a part of that meeting. We want to hear your ideas and see, you know, make it really awesome. But number one thing here, let's receive from our neighbors. Let's receive from the people that we're trying to reach. Can we do that? Because they'll be blessed by it. They'll be blessed by it. Some of you are a little bit, you know, reluctant, but trust me on this. Let's do it. It's going to be awesome. Number two, care not just about their needs, but about them. Care about them. Care about your neighbors. Care about the people that you want to bless. When Joseph's brothers come and join him, he inquires deeply about what's going on in their life. Is this your father? How is your father? What's going on in his life? Is he well? Is he still alive? Is this your younger brother? And he wants to know about them. What is happening in their lives? This is why it's so great to be a part of a church family, isn't it? And this is why we encourage our times of fellowship, you know, hang out afterwards, have some donuts, have some coffee, get to know one another, be a part of the core groups that meet midweek in different people's homes. Get to know each other so that you can take an interest in not just what do they need, but what's going on? Who are they? What's taking place in their life? Luke 9:11. So again, all of the gospel accounts, they tell the story of the feeding of the 5,000. But notice this in Luke 9:11. When the crowds learned it, they followed him and he welcomed them and he spoke to them of the kingdom of God and he cured those who had need of healing. This idea, this word welcoming, it means that to involve, to bring in close. Bring in close. This is how you can be a blessing to someone else. Listen to them. Care about them. I love how Paul describes Timothy in Philippians 2, 19 through 21. He says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you, for I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interest and not those of Jesus Christ. Do you notice what's taking place here? Paul says that Timothy's genuine concern for your welfare is the interest of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is genuinely concerned about you, about your welfare, about what's going on in your life. What is weighing heavy upon you? I'll tell you what. When I look at our community, our neighborhood, Poway, and I try and see what are the needs of our people or of this place. Think about this for a minute here. You know, we don't have a huge need for hunger. We don't have a huge need for shelter. What are the needs of our city? It's an affluent city. It's you know, it's comfortable. It's paradise. What do people need? So I think about what they need. And you know what comes to mind? People need to know that other people are listening. That people are listening. People are concerned with them. People are paying attention to them. And you know how obvious this is? How many of you drive down Camino del Norte or Twin Peaks Road after service here? Anybody going to drive down? All right. You guys know who I'm talking about. Because if you go 1 mile down right now, literally right now, 1 mile down Twin Peaks Road at the intersection of Twin Peaks and Pomerado, there are dozens of people standing at the street corner, waving signs, wearing t-shirts, waving flags right now. And do you know what they're all saying? They're all saying, I want someone to listen to me. They all are. They all have the exact same message. They think that they are opposed to one another, but they're not. They're all wanting the same thing. I want someone to understand me. I want someone to care about what I care about. Just listen. Just listen. And it's sad. It breaks my heart that they, on a Sunday morning, no less, are missing out. Because the fact is, all of you are gathered here under the same motivation. I want someone to listen to me. And we all are in one voice crying out to the one that we know is listening to us. We know he cares about us. We know he hears us. We know he has compassion for us. That's what our neighbors need to know as well. They need someone who takes a genuine interest in them, not just in their needs, but in them. Jesus cares. And he gives us that same ability to care. And so here's a way that we can bless them as well. Number three is joyfully share your table with them. Joyfully share your table with them. So Joseph has all this huge table, and it says that they took from his portion and gave it to the brothers. He shared his table with them. I love this passage in Matthew because Matthew is the author of Matthew, as you might assume, right? But this is, he's describing his call, how God called him, how Jesus called him. In Matthew 9, Jesus passed on from there, and he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and he followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with him, with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." So here's Jesus calling Matthew, the tax collector. Matthew just like so slow plays this And he just saw me and I just came and followed him. But from one sentence, he says, follow me. And the next sentence says, so he rose and he followed him. And the next sentence, as Jesus reclined at table in the house. Like, how did that happen? Follow me. Okay. Where are we going? Let's go lay down. Let's go sit down and enjoy. Let's relax. What? Follow me. That sounds a lot of times I hear this. Jesus coming to the disciples and saying, follow me. And what they hear is, go pick up a chainsaw and let's go work, right? Let's go labor. Let's go storm a mountain. I don't know. I don't know what their thought is. But the next sentence after follow me is, let's sit down and eat. Hello? Come on. You want to be a blessing? You want to be a blessing? Take them out to eat. Invite them to dinner. Share your table with sinners. That's a practical blessing. Be hospitable. There's something about just sharing a meal. There's something about breaking bread together. It's so powerful. It connects you so much. It's such a blessing. And Jesus brings that blessing to the sinners. Don't be afraid to invite your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, strangers even, out to dinner, into your home. Be a blessing. Share the table with them. And it says he's just be generous in pouring out. Pay for the meal. Don't even split the check. Come on. Right? Jesus invites them. Friend of tax collectors and sinners. And so should we be. Share our table with them. Let me encourage you with this. That what God has blessed you with is what God has entrusted you to bless others with. What has God given you? What has he given you? What has he blessed you with? That's what he's calling you to bless others with. I have a friend who's a Catholic priest, and he says, God called us to be generous, and he said the greatest gift that people have is their children. I'm like, whoa. In our culture that takes our children, we huddle in. He says, if our greatest gift is our children, then how can we be a blessing? How can we be generous even with our children? So it's not just this isolated, I'm going to keep my family over here and I'll bless you from afar. He says, no, it's a whole family endeavor to be a blessing. It's like, wow, Padre, that is a good word. That's what I call him because I don't feel comfortable calling him Father. Anyhow, plus I like the Padres. It works out. So being generous, what God has blessed you with is what he's entrusted you to bless others with. How can you be a blessing? How can you share your table with them? And so finally, this fourth aspect that I see here in this message is to bring the blessing of the grace of God into the relationship. So this is kind of this all-encompassing. The greatest gift that we have is to be able to bring the grace of God into the relationship. The greatest gift that God has given you is his grace. It is, in fact, his compassion. His compassion. And so Matthew 14:19, he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, taking 5 loaves and 2 fish. He looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and he gave them to the disciples and the disciples gave them to the crowds. Now I want to pause on this for just a second here and just think about how crazy this is. He took this bread and he said a blessing. The blessing was better than the bread. The blessing that Jesus gave the crowd was more important than the bread. Now, he could have easily just created the bread, given them the bread. Hey, here's bread. Have the bread. But he didn't just give them bread. And I used to think that he needed to say a blessing in order to make that bread happen. That's not true. Remember when he turned the water into wine? No blessing. No special incantation. Like, ooh, you know, no ear of Newt necessary. He just said, do it. The water turned into wine, and the people were provided for. Here, it's not the bread. That's the blessing. The blessing is the blessing. The grace of God, the fact that God himself is eating lunch with them. That's the blessing. That's the supernatural. That's the greatest miracle, that God is dining with them. The grace of God, that God, the only God, the one who is compassionate and forgiving of sins, would forgive their sins in such a way that he would befriend them. So it is with us. We bring the grace of God into our relationships. And by doing so, we are bringing real, true blessing. Real, true blessing. This is kind of how it looks. Romans 12, 13 through 17. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. That's what a blessed life looks like, right? That's what a life clothed in the grace of God looks like. Now, I said that Jesus took the bread and he blessed it. You know this, that there's only two times that Jesus pronounced a blessing on the bread. Right? The feeding of the 5,000 and the Last Supper. Now the Last Supper, Jesus sat there with 12 other men. Joseph sat there with his 11 other brothers in this first supper. They didn't recognize him. They didn't know the totality of who he was. But he knew. He knew. He knew that in the depths of his heart, everything inside of him just wanted to bless his brothers. So Joseph, and then thousands of years later, Jesus, sitting at the table, calling upon the grace of God, breaking the bread, and dining with those who would betray him, who would deny him, who would run away from him, who would disappoint him. Joseph did it from the perspective of one who had already been betrayed, rejected, denied, sold into slavery. Jesus does it in anticipation, but it's the same idea. It's the grace of God. Bless those who curse you. How can you be a blessing? It's a matter of being friends. Embrace, care, listen, love. Jesus did this for us, like Matthew said. We couldn't be friendly enough. We couldn't be compassionate enough. I'm blown away by this idea that compassion is only attributed to God throughout all of the scriptures. And in fact, it was the compassion of God that so offended Jonah. Because Jonah, he was like, I knew, God, I knew you'd be compassionate and wouldn't smite them like you said, told me to smite them, right? He's like offended by compassion because it goes against our sensibility of justice. But God's not unjust. He's perfectly just. He's perfectly righteous. All sin will be punished. Either you will bear the punishment eternally, or Jesus will bear it on your behalf. Repent and believe the good news. I believe, Jesus, you've paid for my sins. And now I'm free to be a blessing. Church, I want us to be so free, to be so radical in our blessing. I've given you some pretty reasonable ideas of how you can go and be a blessing today. But it's going to take, I know, it's a little uncomfortable. In order to bless people, you got to talk to them. You got to meet them. You got to shake hands and occasionally hug. But by the Holy Spirit working in us, he's going to do great things, church. Give good news. Be great neighbors. I'm so excited for what is to come. I'm so excited for how he's equipping us and calling us and sending us into our community. And I don't know what's in store. I don't know how many and how amazing the stories of God supernaturally reaching our community are going to be, but I know he's going to do it. He is faithful. He will do great things. Let's have our worship team come up and close by singing that anthem, that confident declaration. He has done, he will do great things. As they come up and prepare, would you stand? And I'm going to pray over you. I'm praying for you to be generous, to be a blessing. Jesus, you see our hearts today. Lord, you're calling us to radical generosity and kindness. Lord, you're calling us to be a blessing. You're calling us to partner with our neighbors and our friends, to serve alongside them, to invite them into the service that we can do. You're calling us to listen to them. You're calling us to share with them, and you're calling us to be gracious to them as you have been gracious to us. So, Lord, let us rest and rejoice in the grace that you have given to us so that it overflows from outside of each of our lives, that we can be a blessing to others. Fill us with your Spirit, with your power, with your love, and with your compassion, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing.